Gospel of John, chapter 3. This is probably, as far as Bible chapters, this is probably one of the most famous ones. John chapter 3. We're going to read the first 7 verses of John chapter 3. And this account, of course, is the account of Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the middle of the night. Let's read here. In John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Amen. Now my prayer this morning is that if there's anyone here today that you're not saved, that you will see the great benefit and the blessing of getting to know who Jesus is and what can happen in your life whenever you have an encounter with Jesus. Amen. And then for those of us here today that we are Christians and we have been born again, that we have a new appreciation and a gratefulness in our heart for the day that we came to know the Lord. Amen. What a benefit and a blessing that it is. You must be born again. You must be born again. Billy Graham tells the story in his younger years of his ministry, going to a small city to hold a evangelistic meeting and needing to write a letter and have it mailed back to someone. And he asked a young boy there to take his letter to the post office. He didn't know where it was at. And so he gave it to a young boy. I don't think that very many people would do that these days, but he handed it to a little boy and said, "Would you take this and put this in the post office mailbox for me?" And the little boy agreed to do that. And then Billy Graham said, "And tonight, if you'll come to such and such a church, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the little boy looked at him and said, "I don't think I'm going to come because you don't even know how to find the post office, let alone heaven." It's a good little story. But the reality is, I think that a lot of people today are very much confused about what qualifies us to be in heaven. And I think that what we are experiencing today is that most people in our world today, they are just assuming that if you are a good person, you are going to be able to get to heaven. Now, as a pastor, I've heard a lot of times at funerals or checking on people when someone has passed away, I've heard this many, many times. People say, "Well, if anybody went to heaven, my whoever they were," and they would mention their aunt or their grandmother or their grandfather or their uncle or whoever they were, because they admired them. They admired their goodness. They admired their maybe even their morality. They paid their bills. They were faithful to their family. And they could list all the great qualifications of that person. And then they would make that statement. Anybody made it to heaven. I know that Aunt so-and-so, they made it to heaven. That's not a good statement for Christians to make. Because we know that we do not go to heaven on the basis of our goodness. Amen. It is not just because you pay your bills or you're a faithful husband or that you meet the qualifications as far as some level of morality is concerned. The fact of the matter is, it's pretty shocking for us to have to consider, but we need to think about this because we need to think biblically. We don't need to let the world's thinking creep into our thinking. I mean, the world, I mean, a pop star, a rock star, or a movie star will die who was obscene and irreverent and ungodly and all of their life. But as soon as they die, they'll talk about that pop star being in heaven. Their music is appreciated in heaven, or their talents are appreciated in heaven. No talk about heaven until they die. And then they just assume that because they were famous or because they were important, it doesn't make any difference. You can be a president or a congressman or a king or a wealthy person somewhere all over. None of those things qualify you for heaven. None of them. It's very hard for us to conceive and think about this, but we need to if we're going to think biblically about who goes to heaven. Amen. This week there's been this ongoing trial, if you've kept up with it. It's been a disgusting thing, this Pennsylvania coach and the terrible things, the crimes that he committed against children, just unthinkable things that he did. He was convicted on 65 different counts of child abuse and all kinds of unspeakable things that he was involved in. And whenever, I think it was Friday night, that the verdict came that he was guilty of all those things. They said the news account was that they led him out of the courtroom and the crowds of people were all out there and they were cheering because he was convicted, and probably rightfully so. But one man yelled out and said, "Let him rot in hell." And so he was assuming that that person was bound for hell because of those terrible things, and he probably is. And I know he is, unless he is born again. Unless he's born again. Gets born again. Let me clarify that. No born-again person is going to be involved in that kind of activity. Good people go to hell, and that is a very difficult thing to consider, but it's true and the misconception is that today we think of, well, good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That is pretty much the philosophy of the world. If you live a bad, wicked, awful life, then you're deserving of hell. But in reality, if we're going to think biblically, which we need to do, we know that there's only one door and one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, and you must be born again. Amen. Now, Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a religious man, one Jewish writer about Nicodemus said that he was so wealthy that he could have supported all of the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem for 10 years. And they, you know, if that's true, then you can see that this was a very, very wealthy, prominent religious leader who sat on the hierarchy of, as far as the Sanhedrin courts were concerned, and he was influential, and he was a man, no doubt, was highly regarded. But he came to Jesus in the middle of the night, and the reason that he came in the middle of the night, I guess we can just assume that he came because he didn't want anyone to know that he was inquiring of Jesus, that he came to speak to Jesus and to talk to him. It's amazing to me that this man, who would probably have been the epitome of a man who followed the letter of the law. That's what the Pharisees did. They loved the law. They studied the law. They lived by the law. And every word, even the punctuation, the jot and the tittle, which was describing the punctuation, every part of the written law. And actually, the Jews took it a step further and expanded on the law. That's called the Talmud. And it was more of their ideas and more of their interpretation of the law, which made it just a strict set of rules. And if you messed up and you broke any one of those laws, then you were under this condemnation of the law. I can't help but believe that even this Pharisee was weary with trying to be a perfect person,
trying to live up to all those qualifications, all of this strict obedience and adherence to the law. So he came to Jesus at night. He came to Jesus at night and began to have this discussion with him. Came to Jesus and he said, "We know that you must be of God because we've witnessed all of these miracles, all these things that you are doing. We know that you must be of God." And Jesus, instead of even giving any consideration to what Nicodemus has just said, he speaks to him in strong words, just what he needed to hear. Anytime you see in the scripture where it says, "Verily, verily," you'll see that repeatedly in the scripture, that was writers' way of saying this is like a solemn oath. This is not something to take lightly. This is serious. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, this is something that no doubt just totally turned his world upside down, because this Pharisee believed that he could enter into the kingdom of God by just obeying the law, by just following this strict set of rules that he was going to qualify to get to heaven. And now Jesus has turned everything that he has believed upside down and speaks to him very clearly and lets him know that there's only one way. You must be born again. Now, it's quite obvious that Nicodemus was not a spiritual man at all. He didn't have any insight into spiritual things at all, because by this statement, he's totally confused. He doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. And so he said, "What are you talking about? When you're old, you can't enter back into your mother's womb and be born again? Why are you saying you must be born again?" Again, Jesus' answer is a straightforward, very serious answer. Verily, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God." Strong words. So, the fact that we need to be, as I've been saying, we need to be thinking biblically, and as it relates to people in the world, and we need to be concerned about people as to whether or not they have, not that they go to church, not that they read their Bible, not that they follow, religious activity, listen to gospel music. Yeah, none of those things necessarily. They may be the byproduct. They are oftentimes the byproduct of what happens, the fruit of a person's life when he gets born again. But just because he does those things does not qualify him for heaven. Amen. Ye must be born again. You must be born again. There has to be this spiritual experience. So then he explains to him, and he says that there must be this you're born of water and of the Spirit. He's talking about your physical birth and your spiritual birth. To be born again, actually the Greek word means to be born from above. That it's a heavenly spiritual experience. That you have an encounter, a personal encounter with God. In order to have this experience, first of all, you have to be born into this world in the flesh. And then you must be born from above. Amen. There must be a spiritual experience. Amen. That your life is completely changed and turned around for the glory of God. Now, I'm sure that Nicodemus was probably weary and tired of trying to live a life that was perfect in his own strength and power. And you just can't do that. You can't. Unless you're born again, you're living your life after the flesh and by the power of your flesh. And you cannot just make up your mind and say, I'm gonna be a better person. You can't just make up your mind and say, I'm gonna stop sinning and I'm gonna start doing righteous things and spiritual things. Be encouraged this morning to know that God wants you to have an encounter with Him. You need to be born from above. And when you're born of the Spirit, then you have this supernatural touch of God upon your life, and an ability and a power that comes from God, whereby you are able to live a life that's pleasing to God. Amen. You're not just living out a strict set of rules. You're living for Jesus. And by the power of the Spirit, you can walk in obedience to the things of God. Amen. And Nicodemus heard that. This shocked him to hear that he could be changed, that he could be born again, because his whole life he had been convinced that it was only by living good and perfect according to the law that he was going to be able to get to heaven. This has really concerned me, because I've been around a lot of people over the last weeks and months. And when someone dies and passes away, that there is just this assumption that they're right with God. And I've heard people also use the terminology, they were okay, everything was right with them, they were right before the Lord. And you wonder, what does that mean? Does that mean did they come into an understanding of the fact that they had to come into an encounter with Jesus Christ? Did they just decide to be a better person? And that means that they were all right and ready to meet God? No. We're only ready to meet the Lord. We're only ready for heaven because we've been born again. Whenever Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, there in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word there literally means to know or to perceive. He can't even understand the things of the kingdom of God. He can't understand how God wants to work in his life and the plan that God has for him. There's nothing about spiritual things that he can understand until he has this encounter with Jesus. Amen. Amen. You must be born again. You must allow God to change your life. I tell you, it's an encouraging thing to me to know that you can have a relationship with Jesus and you can meet the one who can change your life. Amen. I know that born again has been tossed around as a term for a lot of years, and a lot of people claim that term. I'm born again. But in reality, have you had this personal encounter with Jesus Christ? Is your life changed because you have met the Lord? Has there been this power, this supernatural touch of God come into your life because you met Jesus and you know him in a personal way? That's what it means to be born again. To be born again, you are beforehand, before you're born again, you're powerless. You can't help yourself. You can't do anything about your condition or the state that you're in. And no doubt that's what brought Nicodemus to Jesus. He was religious. He knew the law. He had all of these things perfectly in line. But I just can't help but believe that there was something going on in Nicodemus's mind and spirit. He knew he was lacking. He knew that he needed help. And if you've never been born again, what you need is Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. You need to come to the Lord, and you need to confess your sins, and you need to believe upon him and allow him to change your life. Amen. You cannot deal with the power of sin that's in your body and in your life unless you're born again. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. To be born again, that means your life is changed. Amen. You walk into that place of repentance, bowed down under the load of sin, unable to do anything about the weight of sin that's upon your life, but you leave that encounter with Jesus and you're free. Amen. You're free from the burden of sin, and you have a newfound desire in your heart to please God and to live for the Lord. Amen. Don't tell me that you're born again and you have no interest in the Bible. Don't tell me that you're born again and you're not interested in the work of God or the work of the ministry. Don't tell me you're born again and you could care less about the fact that hundreds and thousands of souls are dying every day and going to hell. It's just not true. If you're born again, you are changed. You become like him. And there is this power that is in your life that causes you to want to please God. Amen. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. It's not only John chapter 3, but there are a number of other places in the scripture where it talks about being begotten of God or sons of God. Or born again, many verses in the New Testament. There's this encounter, there's this transformation that takes place in your life whereby you are changed, transformed. There has been a regeneration that has taken place whereby you're changed. There's been a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of desires. And from that moment forward, you're living to please God. Amen. All the while, Nicodemus is trying to live by the letter of the law in his own strength. And you talk about a big load. There's a weariness with trying to do right in your own power. It'll just weigh you down. It'll burden you down. I can tell you the number of people that I've talked to about coming to the Lord or inviting folks to church. And I've heard many people say over the years, I just don't think I could live it. I don't think I could ever live that life. I just wanted to say to them, well, you're exactly right. You can't do it. You can't live it. That's why you need to come to Jesus. You need to be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. And once you've had this spiritual experience, then you're able then to do what you could have never done before in your own power. You're able to live your life to please God and to serve the Lord with a whole heart because God has changed you completely. Hallelujah. As Brother James said this morning, from the inside out. Amen. A complete transformation of your life, of your mind, of your thinking, of your desires. Transformed by the power of God. Amen. We can't save ourselves. We are powerless to do anything about the problem of sin in our life. You can't do anything about it. You're just weak and powerless. Not one thing that you can do. You can try, but you're going to fail in your own strength. You can't save yourself. Everything is of God. Salvation, the only part that you even play, even remotely play in your salvation is that you believe by faith. Amen. Well, the Bible says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. So even the faith to believe is a gift from God. Amen. So salvation is not of men. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to save yourself. You're powerless to deal with sin except through the power of God. But you have to reach in faith. You have to believe what he has said. And that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. You've got to believe. And you read on down through the chapter as he deals, and I think it's about 6 or 7 times in this chapter that term believe, believing upon the Lord, putting your trust in the Lord again and again and again. That's where it all begins. You have to put your faith and your trust in the Lord. And he's given to all of us the measure of faith necessary so that we can come to God and we can get saved and our life can be changed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know this. We were talking. Brother Bright in the class was talking about the difference between sorrow and grief, and how that people respond. Now, I've been in many, many funeral services when the person was a saint of God, a Christian, and the kind of a spirit that's there. And sure, there's sorrow, there's grief, there's their family is missing their loved one, but there's always this abiding hope that's there. You have hope. You have a confidence. You have an assurance that's just their frame that's there. But in reality, they're already in the presence of God and they're free from pain and they're free from all the restrictions of this life. And they're in this glorious, wonderful place. I've also been, though, with families in funeral services where most of the service was pretty much just a secular service. Worldly songs are sung and the services, there's hardly any hope at all. I've seen the way they grieve. I've seen them grieve. I've seen them grieve to the extent they passed out at the viewing, and just people just overwhelmed with grief because they don't have any hope beyond that grave. They have no confidence, no hope beyond the grave. Amen. But I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for the day that I don't know, I was trying to think, when did I first hear about being born again? I must have been just a little child. I've heard the term and over the years, and I remember when Jimmy Carter was elected president and the headlines were talking about a born-again president, and a little bit later on when Chuck Colson got out of prison for his Watergate things, he wrote a big, thick book called Born Again. And that term has been tossed around over the years in a lot of different ways, but in reality, to be born again, be born again is to be born of the Spirit, to be born of God, to be changed by the power of God. And it means that you've come to Him and you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Glory to God. Amen. As you reach out to the Lord to believe, that means that a man like Nicodemus, as religious as he was, as much as the law as he had to be born again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. The affirmative, strong, straightforward reality, the message from Jesus to this man who was the epitome of a religious man, but he was lost and without hope. And that hope was only going to come to Nicodemus through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you're left to yourself, and I feel very sad for people who they're just in darkness and they're bound by the enemy. But we have a responsibility as believers to share the gospel with them and to let them know of the hope. But don't play around with it, and don't to make it easier than what Jesus did. Let them know that it's not just a matter of signing their name on the book or just shaking a preacher's hand or just starting to come to church. Let them know that if they're going to go to heaven, they're going to have to be born again. And there's going to be fruit in their life of that experience. There's going to be the evidence that they have had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if you'll come in faith believing, God is able to take that person and their sin, as despicable as the sin might be, as horrible and disgusting as the sin might be, if a man comes to God in humility, honestly, before God, humbly, asking Him for forgiveness and repents of their sins and believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that wicked, evil person can be born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Many times, a person's morality is a big, big thing that keeps them from ever even seeing that they need to know Jesus. You've known people like that. I've known people like that. They would even compare themselves with people in church and say, I live better than that person. I've got, at least I may do this and this, but I'm not like they are. Point at some church-going person. But none of those things are the real issue when you stand before the Lord. The only way, the only door is, did you come to Jesus? Did you come to Jesus? Did you put your faith in Jesus? Have you been born again of the Spirit? I was talking to Danny Overbay. He was telling me that he said that his mother, she was not, she went to church just basically off and on for a lot of years. But he said, I, as bad as it's been, he said, these last few months, he said, I have watched her praying and getting closer to God. He said, I've watched the mercy of God reach out to her in this sick time. And it's true. I've witnessed that many, many times. It was true in my dad's case and many others. But let me tell you, what qualifies that person to go to heaven is, have they had an encounter with Jesus? You must be born again. Nothing else. No other way can you get to heaven except through Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we've had an encounter with you one day as a young person, and many others here today, different times in their life, Lord, that they've met you in a real way. And Lord, their lives have been changed by the power of the Spirit of God. Oh God, we thank you that you can change lives. We thank you, Lord, that you can bring men and women to that place that their life is so turned around, so transformed by the power of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for this new birth. Thank you, Lord, for this new life that you give to men who come to you in faith believing. And I just pray, Lord, today that those that are among us in this sanctuary today, if there's anyone, Lord, they've been depending upon their goodness, or they've been depending on maybe their parents or their church affiliation or whatever, Lord, that they've trusted in. If it's anything other than Jesus, Lord, I just pray that this morning that their eyes would be opened and that they would come to the understanding just as Nicodemus did as he came to that place to realize that if you are born into this world physically, that's the first birth, but you need a second birth, a spiritual birth. Oh God, do a work among us here today. Stir our hearts, Lord, to see that men everywhere must be born again. Praise God. Let's stand together. Amen.